Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. How many of you are feeling like you need God to touch you this morning? Anybody? I want God to touch my spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You're in a good place. Man, hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, the Word of God tells us actually that when we're weak, that's when we're strong. That's when strength has the ability to overwhelm you and overtake you. Is that okay? In your weak spots, you know, I mean, that's where the Apostle Paul said, when I am weak, then I'm strong. Sometimes we get ourselves into situations that maybe is a drain on us. You know what I mean? It can be a drain either financially, physically, mentally, and very much spiritually. And we get ourselves to a weak place. And the place to go is to God. Place to be is in His presence. Place to find is His presence. The place to find strength will be in His presence. And if there's any of you this morning that are sensing that, I just want God, just give me something this morning. Lord, just give me something to get me going for another day. Is that all right? Sometimes that's the way I am. I say, God, just got to say something to me today because I know it'll take me. Remember when I think it was Elijah or Elisha? Sometimes I mix those two. Did anybody mix those up? I say, well, good. Well, I'm glad you don't. I do. But the Word of God says that an angel brought him some food and told him, "This, you eat this, you're going to need this." And the Bible says he went in the strength of that he ate to get to where he was going. And I like the way it's said in there, because sometimes, and I guarantee you, when God speaks something to your heart, you go in the strength of that for a while. Is that right? Have you guys noticed, you know what I'm talking about? He'll speak something to you, Matt, and it charges you up. You get all fired up, and then now it feels like you've gained some strength. And you know what? What I believe in God is wanting to say to you this morning, that He wants you to live in that. Is that okay? Will you guys accept that? He wants you to live in that continual flow of strength. You know, I think it's what Paul called being addicted to the ministry. The ministry of the Holy Ghost going on in your heart, in your life, and then at the same time going out towards others through your life, I believe it becomes very addictive to where you say, God, that's what I'm after. I am after your spirit speaking in my life. Can't have anything else. TV will only get you so far, isn't that right? Come on, man, it really will. It's God speaking into you. Precisely the right moment. Yeah, you know, you guys know that God's going to speak to you. Do you realize that? He's going to speak, every one of you in the house, everybody look at me. He's going to speak to you. Precisely the right moment is going to come to you. Because God knows you. He's not going to let you fall. He's not going to let you go back. He's not going to let you go forward. I mean, go backward. He wants you to go forward. So at the right time, He's going to speak to you. My prayer for us is that we are listening for that. I mean, have you ever missed God? You ever missed Him? How many of you ever had something where a week later something happens, you go, man, God was talking to me about this the other day, and I totally didn't get it. And now it's happening. You know, anybody ever had that? I'll tell you what, because God does speak. He's constantly wanting to speak to you. And this is not the only place that He'll speak to you. He'll speak to you every day, in your house, in your yard, in your car, in wherever you're at, He will speak to you. Because He desires to touch you and speak to you and build you and strengthen you. Is that okay? That's a good idea. That's a good deal. That's what I love about God. He never gives up on us. Is that right? He's always, behold, you know, Revelation 3, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's always knocking. Sometimes we're holding the door. No, okay. Go away for a minute. No, you don't want to do that. Hallelujah. God's going to give you something this morning. He's going to give you something. Folks, I really believe that we really, really need to really take a look at what at our faith, at what faith is in our lives. Is that okay? Faith is a substance of things hoped for. Is that right? And it's evidence of things not seen. Is that okay? And so those words are just weird, because when you think about the words that are being said, you go, it's kind of weird. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to get into the sermon in just a minute. But Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of your faith. Do you understand what he's saying when he says that? He's the author of your faith, and he's also the finisher of your faith. I like thinking about, you know, when sometimes when they work on cars and they put a new finish on the car, it goes through a lot of preparation to get it to look really nice. How many of you guys know that? I mean, it's got to be sanded. It's got to be, I mean, all the little dings and danks, all those things taken out of it. And then it's sprayed on. And then sometimes even that finish that's sprayed on, there needs to be a little bit of a buffing going on to get it to get to where exactly you want it to look. And I'll tell you, God, that's kind of an example of God is the author. He's the one working out the dings and the dinks. Is that right? And boy, this guy had a lot of dinks. Not you, me. Oh. I'm talking about me. A lot of dinks, a lot of dings. Is that right? I said more dings than a Chinese phone book. Is that right? But anyway, I had a lot of stuff. God's dinging out, taking all the little dents out. And then he begins to spray this little spray paint on you, man. Is that right? Is that right, Chris? Put a little coat of paint on you, man. Started looking good. People started noticing, who is that guy over there, man? Next thing you know, he brings a buffer out. up and down, and it begins to polish you up, man. Next thing you know, you're shining in the world, in the midst of the world, you're shining. And people look at that person there. And it's because of the glory of God that God is placing in your life. He wants you to shine like no one else. Nobody can shine like you. Is that right? Do you know that? You're so beautiful in God's eyes. You got a certain way he's going to make you shine. And when he buffs you up and gets you all polished up, sets you out there in the world, everybody goes, what is that, man? You know Princess Diana? That lady, they would say that lady will walk into and every eye would turn and see, not just because she was a princess, but because she carried herself in a way that was a beautiful, shining kind of thing. And I don't know if she was a Christian. I don't know any about that. I don't know. But the royalty that she had in her life, which wasn't there before because she married into royalty, is that correct? She married into royalty. The royalty that wasn't in her life began to shine through her. And she was an attraction. And not only just because of but because of how she began to hold herself and carry herself. And folks, that's what God's doing with us. He's building us. He's strengthening us. He's polishing you. Taking out the dings. Is that right? How many like that? Man. I mean, sometimes it's some impact going on, some hurting going on, but he's pulling the dings out of you because he does want you to shine like nobody else has ever seen. Is that right? And Anthony cannot shine like Jeff. Jeff, you cannot shine like Chris. Chris, you can't shine like brothers. I forgot your name. Sorry, man. But hey, but that's a fact. Nobody can shine like you. Nobody, nobody, nobody. There's nobody else in the world can shine the way you can shine. And that's pretty crazy. That's cool. That's why it says when God makes up his jewels, come on, man. They are nice. I'm going to take you to Genesis. We're going to talk about Abraham. Hallelujah. And you just keep this thought in mind that Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith, okay? Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for every dot, every mark in your word, every, I think it's called a tittle, every in your word, because your word is important. And what your word does to us, Father, it transforms us into who you are. So, Father, we thank you for that this morning. So, Lord, as we're looking at your word, Father, God, would you show us, Father God, who we are in you. Show us our position. Show us, Father. We thank you for it and we praise you for it. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Genesis chapter 15, if you will. We're going to read verses 1 through 6. Oh, man. The Word of God says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and your exceeding great reward. Hallelujah. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? Apparently, he was going by his oldest servant, probably the longest been the servant that's got most seniority in his house. And it's funny when the Lord tells him, he says, I am your shield and I am your exceeding great reward. Do you know he's saying that to you also? He is your shield and he's your exceeding great reward. And Abraham goes ahead and asks him, well, okay, God, what are you going to give me? What do you think of that? And he says, I go childless, and one of my servants is in line for everything that I own. So, God, what are you going to give me? Why are you telling me this? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth out of your own house, out of your own bowels, shall be your heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, so shall your seed be. Verse 6 says, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. I love that. I love what God is doing with Abraham, because God is presenting something to us, not only to Abraham, but he's also presenting something to us. If you will believe God, he'll count it to you for righteousness. Is that okay? That's a cool thing. If you'll believe him, he'll account it to you for righteousness. So much so, if you believe him enough that you believe in his son that died for your sins on the cross, he will not only account it to you for righteousness, but that righteousness will come and dwell within you. Is that okay? That's a cool deal. It's a free deal. Amen? Doesn't cost you a dime. All you got to do is believe. All you got to do is say, God, I believe that. And the Word of God says that he accounts it to you as righteousness. Righteousness is a nice word. It sounds big, sounds holy, isn't that right? But all it means is that you are right with God. That's all it means. Right with God. How many want to be right with God? Hallelujah. I want to be right with God. How many of you think you're right with God all the time, every day of it? Come on, man. Yeah. Come on, man. Think about it. Are you right with God? Hallelujah. Well, God says you are. He says you are. Come on, man. That's cool. That's the position he's placed you in. We talked a little bit last week. We talked a little bit last week about an inheritance increase. And that inheritance increase has a position for you. And that position has all this inheritance. Is that cool? That's very cool, because it's who you are. It's what God says about you and not what you say about you. Is that right? Is that right? When I asked right now the question, how many of you are right all the time? There was only a few of you that said, well, yeah, because, you know, God makes you right. Because he washes everything away and everything becomes new and you're good. Is that right? But you got to believe him for it. Can I tell you that this whole thing with God depends on a couple of things: belief and faith. You just believe God. What he tells you, what you see in his word, you believe him. Is that okay? Is that all right? That's what makes him happy. And what did I tell you to remember? Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith. Okay? Just keep that in mind. All right? Hallelujah. Abraham, what does God do with Abraham? You know, just a few days ago, it rained. You guys remember the rain? It rained around. And you know what? I think it was that night or the next night, there was no moon later in the evening. So out at my place, it was just black as black. You couldn't see anything. There's no street lights where I live, so that's cool. So if I turn my lights on, every bug in the neighborhood sees it. And the man, they're at my house. So I keep my lights out, man, but it was just dark. And I went outside and I started in the, and somehow the rain had washed the sky kind of. And man, you could see, man, the stars were beautiful. And I started thinking about this. And I believe that's when God began to place this in my heart. And he took Abraham out and he shows him, he goes, look at those stars, Abraham. He says, he goes, you're worried about this, your oldest servant that's going to be your heir. And he goes, and I'm going to tell you, look at all those stars. That's what your seed's going to look like. If you can count all of those, that's what your seed's going to look like. And the amazing thing is it says, the Word of God tells us that Abraham looked at those stars and he believed God. He goes, cool. I believe you, God. I believe you. And God says, we're right. You're right with me. Hallelujah. Believing God. What God did was he placed within Abraham a picture. Is that right? He gave him a vision, if you will. Abraham, through what he was seeing, had an ability to say, man, those stars, they're not just stars up there now. Every time I go out at night, because it would happen almost every night. Is that right? You go out and you see the stars. Those aren't just stars anymore. Those are my descendants. That's my heritage up there. And he had an ability to look at it and to believe God and stand on it night after night after night after night. I believe it was pretty dark over there. I don't think they had their 1,000, 5,000 watt light bulbs out there. I believe it was pretty dark for those folks. And Abraham every night would see those stars and he'd remember the promise of God. See, God had placed a vision in his heart. And I'm going to talk to you this morning. What I want to just say to you, has God placed a vision in your heart? Are you working with the vision? Or are you just trotting along and you don't have anything that's really pulling you forward? Because I'm going to tell you something, a vision will pull you forward. It will not let you stay in the back or in the past. A vision will pull you forward. Do you know that? And God wants to give you vision. He wants you to see things that nobody else can see. I'm going to say that again. He wants to show you things. He wants you to see things that nobody else can see, just you. I feel it when I'm saying it. So I'm going to say it again. He wants you to see things that nobody else can see. He's got a vision for you. Do you understand that? Do you understand that he's got something for you? And the Word of God tells, oh man, I'm going to get ahead. So I better slow down, Hank. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. Glory to God. Hey. Hebrews 11, starting at verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Substance of hope. What is that? Is that right? Isn't that weird wording? Substance of hope. And then it says, evidence of things not seen. Anybody watch CSI at all? Anybody? Nobody? Yeah, come on. I know somebody in there. CSI Miami? No. CSI New York? Whatever. According to them, the evidence has to be visual. Is that right? But the Word of God is saying something different here. It is evidence of things what? Not seen. Absolutely not seen. Faith is a substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. Pastor John, what are you hoping for? Just give me an example. What are you hoping for?
I am hoping
for healing.
Church.
For the church.
Oneness with Christ.
Okay.
Oneness with
God. And so it is. Faith is substance of things hoped for. Here comes your substance, okay? You're going to catch. There's your, and then, you know, there is a time when that thing will go from a substance, that something that's hoped for, to where it's a reality. Is that right? Can I just say to you again, you have to have something in your heart that you're hoping for, that you're asking God for. It's called God will show you. He will give you a vision. Is that right? I'm with you. I'm with you, Pastor. I'm praying that everybody that walks in this room, there's a day coming that they might walk in hurt and sick. But when they leave that, when they leave these doors, because they've been in the presence of God, that thing is going to walk off of them. It's going to take off. It's going to be gone. Because I'll tell you what, I believe that. I'm with you, brother. I agree with you. I agree with that. Hallelujah. Christians ought to be the most healthy people on the planet. I'm going to say it. We ought to be the most healthy people on the planet. Is that right? Why? Promises. Promises. Not just any promise, a promise from a divine creator that created the whole thing with his word, gave us a promise. Do you know what the word for spirit is? The Greek word, I should say that. The Greek word for spirit is pneuma. 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 Everybody say pneuma. Pneuma. The Greek word for spirit. You remember what Jesus told the lady at the well? He goes, God is a spirit. That word is pneuma. The word means a breath or a breeze or a wind. That's what pneuma. We get the word pneumatic out of it. We've got pneumatic tools, pneumatic tires that we put air in the tires. You know, same thing. It's air. And see, God is a spirit. But what's cool about what God does as a spirit, he forms words with that. And he speaks those to us. Do you get me? You hear what I'm saying? He speaks those words to us. They come to us in kind of a breeze, a slight breeze. How many of you know when God's speaking to you and you sense them and he said something to you, you feel it. You feel it come in. You get tingly. I mean, anybody get tingly? I like getting tingly. I say, come on, Lord. I love it. I love that sense when I feel the word of God coming to me and all of a sudden I'm getting a, whoo, man, it's like a breeze in my soul. Hallelujah. And that's what he says. I am a, see, his that breeze comes in the form of words. It's words. That's why it's so important you spend time in the Bible, because those words will take on that breeze, and this breeze starts blowing in, oh, and it starts blowing out the dead leaves. How's that? Blowing out anything that's contrary to God, because it's the words of God being spoken directly in your spirit. Oh, come on. Glory to God. Pneuma. Everybody say pneuma. Pneuma. Hey, Lord, give me some pneuma today. I can feel it right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, now this is through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. It's nice words. That's kind of weird. Yeah, it's nice. How many know that God is invisible? Is that right? He's invisible. You can't see him. If you think you can get away from him, you've been lied to. You cannot hide from God. You cannot go off and do your dirty little deed in a corner somewhere and think that God don't see. He sees it. He knows you. That's God. That's just who he is. He is a spirit and he is invisible. And it is he that created the heavens and the earth. But through faith, we believe that he created them. How many believe that God created this mess? It wasn't a mess then. Yeah. How many believe that God created the heavens and the earth? Come on, man. He did. By faith, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaks. And then verse 5 says, by faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. What I love about the story of Enoch is that it happened before the cross that we know, when Jesus actually came to earth and died on the cross where folks saw him die. Is that right? What Enoch stepped into was the area of faith. And what he did, he saw the cross and he believed what God had done for him. That's the only way you can get into heaven. Do you know that? There's only one way to get into heaven. What's his name?
Jesus.
It's the only way. That's the only way. Well, somebody might have told you, well, if I go knock on a few doors, I'm in. Mm-mm. Not unless you believe in Jesus. Somebody might tell you, well, if I go on a mission field and I go out there for a year over there in this mission field and I serve my time, I'm in. Doesn't work that way. If it worked that way, why would Jesus even have to die? Is that right? Why? But he came to die for us. He paid for us. Bought us. When he bought you, you're mine. Isn't that right? Belong to him. You're his. He paid for you. Hallelujah. This invisible God that we're talking about became visible when he sent his son. And his son went to the cross and died for you. Took your place. Hallelujah. Paid your price. Got off that. When they took him off that cross, the Bible says he spent 3 days in hell paying the price for every one of our sins. And the Bible says that God looks at, and he saw what Jesus did, and he says, there is no way I'm going to allow him to stay in hell, because he paid for our sins in hell. He says, but there's no way I'm going to allow him to stay in hell, because he didn't do it for himself. He did it for the whole world. So he says, rise up. Jesus rose from the dead. Is that right? Come on. God's seal of approval. He raised from the dead. And now those of us that believe in that, you know what? It's a done deal for you. Now, what's it all about? It's the polishing part that God's going to take you into. It's the author and finisher of your faith. He's going to begin to show you, this is what I have placed for you. Folks, we got to get it out of our mind that we are on our own making decisions. You're not on your own making decisions. God is trying to lead you to make these decisions. He's trying to help you. Hallelujah. Do you know that you cannot make a wrong decision? People will start talking about, are you kidding me? You're telling me that? I can't make a wrong decision. You can't. Not what God would call wrong, because God knows the future from the beginning. Is that right? So what you would call it a wrong decision, he goes, oh, I got an answer for that. It's going to happen 2 weeks from now. It's going to turn them around another month. They'll be on the right track. Because he's already prepaid for you. It's cool. Folks, it's a lot bigger than we think. It's a lot bigger than we think. It's a lot bigger than what we think. The reality of who he is and who he is in our life and how special he looks at us and says, man, those are my jewels. Those are the ones that belong to me. He says this. Faith Enoch was translated that he should not see what? Death. And was not found because God had translated him. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. You know, I want to look at that. Let's go to Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. Genesis 5. Glory to God. Verse 21 says, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Who is Methuselah? He's the oldest guy in the Bible, is that right? The oldest man. Verse 22 says, Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. Verse 23 says, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. But this guy did not die. Is that right? And so verse 24 says, Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. God took him. Hallelujah. I like the testimony of Enoch because what it does, Enoch bypassed death because of faith. Is that okay? A bypass. How many know there's a bypass out there? There's a bypass because of faith. How many of you know that death is an enemy of God? You guys know that. How many of you know that God does not have to use death to get you to Him? Is that right? Folks, this is why it's so important. This is why it's so important that you think about what God is saying when He says things like, by His stripes, you've been healed. There is healing in Christ. There is healing for the body of Christ, every member. So much so that if you continue and you maintain that stand, you keep standing and you keep standing. The Bible says, and when you've done all to stand, you stand. You just keep standing, saying, this is what God's word says. I will not back away from what God... Folks, do you know that a lot of us will back away? Well, okay. Maybe it doesn't say that. Maybe you meant something that... Well, I'll tell you something. Listen, the word of God says, by His stripes you've been healed. Take that to the bank. Simply put it, write it down. Make a little bracelet out of it. Tattoo it on your arm. I don't care. Like, oh, you telling us that? No. Listen, because that's what the word of God said. That's God's word to you. That He sent His Son and He healed you. And it's a reality. It's a reality. It really is. And some of you are kind of looking at me, man, oh, I don't know about that. I know. Yeah, I'll tell you. Somebody's got to say it. Is that right? And I think we say it quite a bit in this house. So much so, just everyone close your eyes for a minute. In Jesus' name, I bind everything that is contrary to divine health in the believers. In the name of Jesus, I push against it. I push against it. I push against it. I push by the word of God. By His stripes we've been healed. He sent His word and healed him. He is the God that heals us. I push you in the name of Jesus. You have no place in these temples of the Holy Ghost. Get out in Jesus' name. Never return. Hallelujah. I come against cancer in the name of Jesus. I come against diabetes in the name of Jesus. Come against anything that would come against a sound mind in the lives of people in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Arthritis, you got no place. Anything that is contrary to divine health in the believers, I speak to you and I tell you, get out. You're not welcome here. In the name of Jesus. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now make sure you understand that I was speaking to things, and I'm not talking to you guys. I'm not talking to your, Jeff, you're not welcome here, bro. No, I'm not saying, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying those things that are contrary to who you are in Christ, coming against those things. God, I love it, man. Hallelujah. Then it says the Enoch, he walked with God. Let's go back to Hebrews 11. We've got to read verse 6 now. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Is that right? Hallelujah. Are you living by faith? Are you? Are you taking hold of those things that God has been speaking to you? Are you grabbing them and say, God, I'm going to take that. I'm going to hold to it. I'm going to put it in my lunch box. I'm going to put it in my jewelry box. I'm going to take this word, God, and I'm going to hold it in my heart. And I'm going to walk in it. Are you doing that? Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Habakkuk. I love this. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say to me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and lie not. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Verse 4 says, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. And then it says, but the just shall what? Live by his faith. Can I tell you that God, let me just say this, God wants to place a vision with you that's so real to you that you just go after it. Is that okay? There's a vision that God is trying to get to you. Proverbs 29, can you put that up? Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he. Where there is no vision, people perish. God is asking you to receive a vision. Is that okay? What are you focused on as a vision for your life? Some folks that might, hey, I'm going to be healed in the name of Jesus. Other folks, hey, you know, I've heard people talk about being debt free. Is that okay? Hallelujah. Can I just tell you? Yeah, God is a provider. He is a provider. You can be as debt free as you work for. Is that right? As you purpose in your heart, so are you. Is that right? Is that the word of God says? Is there a vision in your heart? It's important that you have a vision. It's important that you, whatever's in your heart, you write it down. Is that what the word of God says? Write it down. Put it on a piece of paper. It says a table, a tablet, but he says, write it down, put it on a tablet, that he that reads it may run. I would say that God is saying, I'm going to give you a vision, but it's not just for you. I would say that he's asking you to write it down so that other people can see what it is and they can grab a hold of it and go after it. Say, yeah, I'll go with you. Hallelujah. I was talking to a brother and we were both agreeing about the casino over here. And both of us, every time we go by it, that's going to be an Indian Bible college. That's what that is. Indian Bible college. Come on, man. Hallelujah. So we were agreeing. God began to give me some dreams. Praise God. Hallelujah. And this brother I was agreeing with was in there. He went in there to get some cheap food. How many of you guys know it's cheap food down there sometimes? Anyway, he was in there getting some food. And he said that as he was walking around where all the one-armed bandits or all the machines are down there, he says, he's walking around, just glanced over there. And he goes, Henry, I'm not, he says, I saw it. I saw chairs and people sitting there. And there was a guy up there talking. And he says, and I saw it, man. And I took a second look and it was gone. It was a bunch of people real bored, kind of looking, pulling their machines. Folks, I'll tell you something. It takes a vision for you to move forward. Is that okay? You know, the people that moved from the East Coast during the 1800s or whatever, they had to have a vision for something to get in those wagons. Have you ever watched those shows? You ever seen what they go through to get to, I mean, Oregon or California? I mean, they went through, I mean, dropping stuff off and fighting Indians. And there had to be a vision for them to push out that way. Is that right? And folks, the same thing is today. And God is saying, I'm wanting to give you a vision. In the book of Joel, it says that in the last days, or in those days, he says, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And the young men shall dream dreams, and the old men shall see visions. Is that okay? And I'm going to tell you, are we in the last days? Can I say to you once again, because I know I've said this to the house before, God is trying to give you a vision, something to work toward, something that he places in your heart, and you find, oh man, I believe it, God. I believe you're going to take me to that. Hallelujah. Dreams and visions. Hallelujah. Let's go to Job 33, verses 14, 15, and 16. Very specific, the way I had these. Job 33, verse 14 says, God speaks once, yeah, twice, yet man perceives it not. How many of you guys know that? He's spoken to you, and yet you didn't perceive it. But then, like I said before, when it happens, all of a sudden you go, oh, God was talking to me about that. I heard him. He said something about that, and that's what he's saying. God speaks once, yeah, twice, and yet they don't. Yet man does not perceive it. Verse 15 says this, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, in slumberings upon the bed. Why would God go to you during your dream time? Hey, that's my time, God. Why are you in my dreams? Oh, man, come on, man. Why would he do that? Because he can't get your attention any other way else. Is that okay? Because you're too busy. Hallelujah. So he says, you know what? I'll go to him in his dreams. I'll go talk to him in his dreams. Then he says this, in verse 16, he says this, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instructions. Do you hear what he's saying? Do you see that? He's trying to give you something. He wants to give it to you and seal it to you. So that, man, he said, when you see it and you hear it, you write it down. You say, man, that's for me. This is where he's going. Folks, I'm telling you, this land around here, God spoke to me. I don't know what he's got in mind, but I know it's his. There's a sign on the corner down there for sale. I don't care who looks at it. It's not going to sell. Because God says it's his. Is that okay? This land right next door here, it's going to be a park. I can see it. I've seen it. God showed it to me. I understand it. So I walked towards it. I said, man. So when I'm walking, I said, God, I believe it. So every time you guys get on this west end here, the little strip of land, just say, that's a park. Just say that. That's a park. That's going to be a park for kids. Because our kids get all scraped up on our playground outside. Is that right? We ain't got no playground. Hallelujah. They're going to come in with band-aids because there's no place to play. And kids need a place to play. Is that right? I like playing on basketball court. I need a place to play. Hallelujah. And I'm just a kid. Amen. Praise God. But he seals it. Is that right? He opens the ears. And then he says, he seals their instruction. Give it to you. You know why? You know what I like about that word seals? Because when you see it and you get it, whew, you can't get away from it. It's there. It's there. It's always been there. I got laid off at the mine. I can't remember what year it was. Too hard for me to think that far back. I got laid off in the mine, and I was working at the garage. It was called Green Valley Auto, and had been there working there for a while, almost 5 years. And God gave me a dream. And I thought at the time when I had the dream, I thought I was just reminiscing. You know what I mean? I thought, because it was pretty vivid. And in the dream, I was working on a piece of equipment that was near an elevator. And this old guy who I didn't know steps out of the elevator and he goes, Henry, you're back. And he walks away and I woke up and I said, what was that? And I had this dream and I didn't, you know, I'm just dreaming about the mine because I used to work there. That's all, you know, you know what I'm talking about? Just one of those. And a few years, actually, not too long after that, the mine sold. The company that would not hire me back because I was mean and ugly and all those other things, the company that would not hire me back, they sold, and this other company moves in, Cypress, and one of the supervisors that I used to have, he came down to where I was working, and I was out on a tow truck, and so he put a resume on my toolbox. Well, about 2 weeks goes by, and he comes back down again. He goes, did you get that filled out? I go, get what filled out? And I saw my boss duck out. Oh, I filled out. He goes, hey, I left a resume on your toolbox. I need you back up there, man. I said, no, man. I said, I never saw it. I mean, my boss told me later on, yeah, I tore it up and threw it away. I said, thanks, Bob. Anyway, but I filled out another one right then while Lynn was there. I filled out the resume, gave it to him, and he goes, man, you'll be back. I'm going to tell you we're back. I said, cool, man. So it took a little bit of process of time then looking at my resume, and sure enough, got a call, hey, I want you back up here, man, give you a job. So I got a job, and I'm working in the maintenance shop just like I always did. And this morning, my supervisor sends me out and says, Henry, you and Arturo, go work on this pump up on the third floor, regrind. And so we go up there, and I'm working on this pump, and there is an elevator that's right behind me. And as I'm working on this pump, my supervisor shows up and goes, Henry, I need Arturo. Can you pack this pump by yourself? I go, well, you're asking me? Man, I can do this thing with my eyes closed. No, I didn't say that. I said, yeah, sure, I'm good, you know. So Arturo left, and I've got my hands inside this piece of equipment, and I'm packing it. And then I had to go to the other side to do that side. So right when I pulled my hands out, my hair started standing up. You guys know what I'm talking about? You guys know what deja vu feels like? Does anybody know what deja vu feels like? You get that weird feeling, that kind of like, man, I've done this before. This seems weird. You know, I stopped there and I thought about that. You know, I said, And I stepped down off the platform, walked around to the other side of the pump that I was working on, and I had my hands in, and now I could actually see the elevator. And while I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing with this pump, man, I felt this real strong sense of being there, and the light came on. So I'm looking at that elevator, and I'm looking, and the door opens, and this old guy, who I don't know, walked over towards me, said, Henry, you're back. And it exactly like it was in my dream. I had that sense, you know, what that deja vu feeling was not deja vu. It was the presence of the Lord. Because when I saw that, I realized that was an answer. And the Lord said something to me. He says, what I have spoken, I will perform. I said, oh, praise God. See, God had told me. I didn't realize it, just like it said here. You don't know it. God speaks once, twice, but yet we don't perceive it. But God had told me, I'm going to get you back. You are going back. It was a few days later. Like I say, I didn't know that old guy. I didn't know who he was. And I was, who was that guy? I don't even know him. His name was Charlie. My sister worked at the mine, and they were sitting at the change house, and I was walking up by myself, and my sister saw me, and she was sitting with Charlie, and she goes, that's my brother. His name is Henry. If you see him up there, tell him hi, you know. So that's how Charlie knew who I was. And like I said before, do you realize all the little things God goes through just to get you to where you know you're in his will? Isn't it amazing? It's amazing. It is a planning process that God does for you. He's so far ahead of you, you've got no idea. And yet he'll give you a dream about it, or he'll show you a vision. So I want to tell you tonight, as you go to bed, say, Lord, I'm open to any dream that you want to give me. Okay? Speak to him that way. Say, Lord, you said in your last days you're going to pour out upon all flesh. And you're going to give dreams and visions. I'm going to put up that scripture, if you will. The Apostle Paul mentions it. And so, did I give it to you? Acts chapter 2, verse 17. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Everybody say amen. I mean, like you mean it. Come on, don't give me this amen. Whatever. Yeah, I mean amen. I mean, amen. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young man shall see what? Visions. Come on, John, that right? Shall see vision. Your young man shall see vision, and your old man shall dream dreams. Hallelujah. There's not one guy in here who's going to dream. I'm just kidding. Old guys will dream dreams. Hallelujah. Tell you, no, dreams, man. No dreams. Listen, talk to him. Because if there's anything that I know it's important that each and every one of us have something that God has given us as a vision, as a place where he's taken us to. And it can be just because, I mean, that dream was right then. And then now it's move on to something else. Is that right? Is that okay? And you guys have heard this a thousand times or probably already, but I said, then I was working, I built my way up, I had gotten some seniority, and I became a compressor mechanic, and that's where God placed me. And I was in that compressor room when that wall that had all sorts of piping and conduit and everything became blank as a sheet of paper, and God began to show me the vision, which I thought was for a youth group that I had up at First Assembly, but it wasn't for that youth group, it was for this house. It was what God was doing. It was a pool of water, and it was a conduit, and there was a man standing, and the water began to move around in the pool, and then it ran down the conduit, and it hit the guy in the back, and he opened his mouth, and he started speaking, and there was a road in front of him, a street, and it had two, like, fields of corn on either side of the street, and as that man spoke, what looked like corn began to move around, and it started growing and growing and growing, and I believe that's what this is doing. I believe it. While I was walking around, I said, folks, you got to have vision. You got to have something that God's going to take. While I was walking around out there, God began to talk to me. He said, man, you are a hub. This is a hub. I said, oh, okay. So I'm thinking hub as in I'm a mechanic. I think in car hub. Is that right? I'm not there. And then he says this. He's kind of weird to me. He says, I will send, I will send. I go, what are you talking about? I said, God, are you, what are you talking about? Later on, I'm listening to something on TV, and they're talking about how the Atlanta airport was a major hub. And when I heard it, that word hit me. I go, oh, you're talking about flying them in and flying them out, aren't you, God? That's what he means. I'll send, I will send. I will fly them. I thought he was stuttering. I'll send, I'll send. I said, what are you talking about? Come on, God, talk to me right. You know, but that's what it was. And he gave me this. It's a fish. It's another push in the spirit to go towards something. Is that okay? Hallelujah. And folks, he wants to do it each and every one of you in the house. We all need it. It has to be in our lives. That's part of you being independently dependent upon God. He's going to take you to where he wants you. He's got a place where he needs you. And it might not be here. But nevertheless, it's there. It's in you already. And it takes the word of God to expose it. It takes the word of God to show it to you. It takes him. Will you listen to me today? Will you hear what my spirit is saying to you today and walk in it? Is that right? Is that okay? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So what I want to do right now, I want to get everybody to stand. Hallelujah. And I want you to put your hand on a person that's near you, next to you, or whatever. Put your hand on somebody near you, next to you. You can hold hands if you'd like. Hallelujah. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to say, Lord, touch him or her, whichever you are. Touch her with your word. Open your deep secrets to her. Give us dreams. Give her visions. Show her what you have prepared for her. In the name of Jesus. If you agree, say amen. Hug that person's neck. Hug on them. I mean, slap them. Give them a high five. But I'm going to tell you something. Get ready. Get ready. And listen. Listen for what the Holy Ghost is saying to you. Listen. Take what he has for you. And take it all in. And allow him to take you where he needs to take you. Amen. Amen. Father, thank you for the word this morning, God. I thank you, Lord, for each and every person, Lord. I ask you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Increase their inheritance. Father God, let there be an increase in their inheritance, Father God. today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Thank you guys for coming this morning. Hallelujah.